for some of you, it's quite a big experience, all of the change, and we wish you well with it. New people, new places, new faces, new situations. And we trust that it's going to be a good one, the whole ride for you, the roller coaster ride. But at some stage, we'd like for you to start thinking about what does it all mean for you? Are you going to be changed? Are you going to be changing the world around you? So just watch this video clip, and we're going to be talking about that for just a few minutes here tonight.
It's a movie trailer. Trailer.
What if the world is just a big disappointment? Unless you take the things that you don't like about this world and you flip them upside down, and you can start that today.
That's me, and that's three people, and I'm going to help them. Then they do it for three other people, then they do it for three more. But it has to be something really big, something they can't do by themselves.
Lost your car?
That's a keen observation.
I can help you.
You're giving me a brand new Jaguar and you don't want anything?
Call it generosity between two strangers.
What did you tell my son to make him bring a homeless man into my house?
I've got a story, okay? Senior partner Channing and Moss is giving away new cars.
Just pay it forward. Three big favors for three other people.
Hello. You can't just put two people together and make them like each other.
This is the one.
Pay it forward.
Paying it forward.
It's like this idea.
You can fix a person.
Do you want to come in and stay?
It's complicated.
It's supposed to be something hard.
I don't care about your burns, Eugene, if that's even what they are. Is that what they are?
I can't.
I'm so sorry.
Don't tell me how sorry you are for me!
Maybe you're scared to get rejected. Well, I can't reject you. You're too quick for me.
Are you still going to pay it forward? Give her another chance. For me.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Pay it forward. The movement, it's reached L.A., Mrs. McKinney.
Come on, the movement?
So you'll, like, flunk us if we don't change the world.
But you might just squeak by with a C.
It's a big idea. And it's pretty appropriate. I want to read you something from the scripture. Pretty similar situation. I want us to talk about it tonight for just a couple of minutes. John chapter 6. Jesus soon saw a crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" And he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with five barley loaves and two fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. And afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Just think about that. Whole crowd of people following Jesus. A lot of things are happening. People are being healed. Demons are being cast out. It's just an exciting day. But there's anything between 5 and 25,000 people present that day, okay? And only one person in that whole crowd thought to bring lunch. The whole crowd is starving. I remember making the mistake once of responding to a need like that, where there were a lot of people going hungry. A lot of shacks had burnt down outside Stellenbosch, and I went to some of these shop owners, and in fact, the owner, Mr. Theo, the owner of this little quick spa, he made the biggest donation. So I had like a 1.5-ton load of fresh, amazing food, and I took it in there, but you know, we make emotional decisions sometimes, and it was a good one, but it wasn't a very clever one, because I was fortunate to make it out there alive and with the bucky intact. It wasn't my bucky. Because you don't toy with hungry people, you respect their hunger. So, so Christ is the situation, and his disciples, for a lot of people, it was a bit of a show. It was a great show, but now they're starving, and they're trying to figure how they're going to fix this. What are we going to do? And then it's this paid forward moment where this one chap who has a mother, right? And they had this conversation before he left home in the morning. She says, "Where are you going? What are you going to do?" "Now I'm going to follow that man. Amazing things happen around him, and I just want to watch. I just want to see what happens." She says, "But that means you're going to be away a long time." He says, "Well, whatever." And you know, guys, how this works. You just want to be off. And mom says, no, just wait, just wait, just 20 minutes. I've got the fish. I just need to get it packaged. And I'm trying to find the foil. And you know how mothers go. She's hunting for the foil because the fish is going to go off and bad fish is going to kill you and all the rest. So it's fish and bread. And then I've got to put something on the bread. It's going to be dry and everything. So, you know, they're the little guys off with this Tupperware and the whatever. It's ancient Tupperware. It's the primitive version of Tupperware, but he's got it and he's off. So this moment, he gives the lunchbox to Jesus. Jesus smiles on him, prays over it, and then the big miracle happens. They keep feeding these people, and afterwards, there's a lot of food left. And just for the skeptics in the room, it's not like it's a miracle that happened a long time ago. In our video archives, if you really want to test me on this one, come bug see us. Maybe you can dig it up, because he removed all our old videos and stuck it somewhere in his garage or something. But we used to have this video of a bunch of Roman Catholic people who ministered to the poor in Mexico on the trash heaps. And they got live footage there of a, what was this, a steak roll? A meatloaf. And on video, on camera, somebody slicing this meatloaf that doesn't get shorter. Every time they slice a thing off, it just remains the same length. Anybody ever seen that thing? Okay, two people. Okay, just all those over 60. So it was the days before the internet. But in any case, but those kind of miracles actually still happen. And those people have amazing stories and testimonies as to how God comes through for them when they feed the poor. But now, that's the kind of thing that happened that day. And I just want us to think very quickly through the situation, because this situation is a very, very important one to us. Because, you know, you've had this situation. Somebody came to you at school and said, listen, want to share your lunch? You said yes. But, you know, sharing your lunch doesn't mean that you're changing the world. Being nice to somebody doesn't mean that you're going to change the world. Isn't that so? But when does it work? When does it happen that when you do give your lunch, it happens to change the world? The next day, there are more than 20,000 people that are buzzing. There's a grapevine that's alive. And now there are hundreds of thousands of people wanting to be there in the next couple of days to be in on this let's feed everybody thing with nothing. You know, the media's there the next day. The cameras, if it were today, it would have been huge. So what's the difference? What makes one act meaningful and significant and different to the rest? I want us to think about that for just a moment. So let's look at this boy. And there are a couple of things that makes an act of giving like this meaningful. The first one has to do with a willingness to be sacrificial, self-sacrificial. Now, what does that mean? It's a very religious word. And all of us say, yes, that sounds like a great idea, but we don't really know what that means. Okay, what it means is this. Christ said, unless you become like kids, you can't be part of my kingdom. You're never going to know power and powerful things. You're never going to be significant. You're never going to do significant things, because only kids have a capacity for this. So what was he referring to? Do you know what he was talking about? He was talking about playing, because that's the difference between being an adult and a kid. Anybody figure that out? Okay. At some stage, most of you are on that stage now where you're beginning to get the message. It's time to stop the games. It's time to stop playing. It's time to grow up. It's time to become part of the real world. Now, we all get the message. The real world is where we don't play anymore. If you ask Christ on this, he'd say, wrong. The playing must go on. Because you know what playing is all about? Playing is all about role playing. When kids play, they're never themselves. They're always somebody else. They're a hero. I'm the mommy and you the daddy. I'm the daddy and you the daddy. Okay. We're always role-playing. Okay? But the whole idea is that it comes from some beautiful place inside where we actually have the capacity to step into somebody else's shoes and try to live ourselves into the emotional experience and perspective of the other person. We actually are working on seeing life through somebody's eyes, mostly an adult's eyes. We want to experience life through their eyes. And that is a God-given ability and a hunger inside of us to know something about the love of God, which expresses itself in empathy. So as you sit here tonight, I want to guarantee you that Christ has that ability to step into your shoes and to feel your life through you. and to actually understand you from a place inside. It's an amazing thing. When scripture says, for God so loved the world, that's what you must think of. He's got the ability to slip into your skin, stand in your shoes, and feel the world through you. You can do that. That's why one can talk to him, and he knows what you're talking about. Empathy is great to feel and to understand what somebody is going through, but that has to go one step further to what scripture calls compassion, to where you decide that what I'm feeling is worth responding to. In other words, it's not like I'm non-judgmental. I'm walking way away from being non-judgmental. I'm being biased toward now. I'm choosing to be preferential toward. I'm choosing to be positive. That's compassion. It's you feel it and then you're committed to it. You're committed to that person's need. And that's what made this act special. Imagine you're 10 years old and somebody says, listen, that food of yours, can I have it? And just to give it away and to walk away. We're talking about changing the world. What does it take to change the world? That movie talks about in some way. Then the other thing that this little guy got right that we battle with when it comes to doing stuff that really changes the world is to understand that if the lives of a couple of thousand people are going to change, I'm going to have to take this lunchbox and I'm going to have to give it to the man Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to give it to him, okay? So there's a principle here. If somebody says you can change the world, they're not speaking the truth because you can't change the world, okay? Because it's a simplistic assumption. In other words, by just lying there and looking pretty, you're going to change the world. It's not going to happen. By just standing there and thinking you're smart, it's not going to happen. What changes the world? It's when you get up and you attempt to make a contribution. It's when you take that which you have and put it on the table. Isn't that so? But there's the problem. If I put it on the table, is it going to change anything? Is it going to make a difference at all? And this is where this little boy and his interaction with Christ is so special. Because what he shows us is that if the world's going to change for the masses out there, we must understand that I've got to take my contribution and give it to the man. Once the man takes it from me, everything changes. But if I, like I did with the bucky, if I were to take my contribution, even though it looks like awesome and amazing, if I pull up in front of 1,000 people like I did that day and I'm saying, yes, food, you know, most people can end up getting nothing. A lot of people can get killed, me included. And that's all we need to understand. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to take our contribution and give it to the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once he takes it from us, once he blesses it, anything's possible. The world can change people. The second one is a willingness to risk. If I give my contribution, is it going to work? So there's this whole thing of been there, done that, gave my lunch away, nothing happened. You know what I got for it? Stunk for dunk. Somebody turned on me and was ugly with me, ignored me. So it's the fear of failure, performance failure, misunderstanding, rejection, all of that stuff. Then there's something else that we need to know. That when we make our contribution, it's really, really special to Christ. And he goes on to say that if we give away anything, right? Could we flight that scripture? If we give away anything, we can know that he will personally reward us here and now. Not just in eternity. Obviously in eternity, it's going to be great. He's going to bless us. But right here and now, he's going to bless us. Because he really wants to encourage us to get this thing right. To take that which we have and to give it away, but in a meaningful way. He really wants us to get this. Watch this. He goes on further. Let's have the next scripture, Mark 9:41. Watch this. Even if somebody gives me that cup of cold water, the same thing happens. Now, here's where we leave the movie behind. Because the movie's idea is very simplistic. Okay? There was going to be no miracle if there wasn't a mom that was on the ball that morning. Ladies, can we see that? And if there's not a little guy that is patient and open to understand that I'd better work with mom on this one. So it's like we've got to take a few steps back and look at the miracle differently. So he gets his lunch from his mother. He goes on, or maybe he lives with his aunt or whatever. But there's a lady, I promise you, there's a lady in the background, and she's part of this whole heroic dynamic too. There's a hero in the background, and she has given him the lunch. And so what Christ says, let's have that scripture up again, Mark 9:41. What Christ says, watch this. If what I'm giving away, my contribution is significant, then I've got to understand something, that I'm only the receiver myself. I can only give away what I've myself received. Now, this is a big one for a lot of Christians, because you see, our culture in the West, it's sometimes a little bit unhealthy, because we tend to be discipled or to be nurtured into spiritual pride, into arrogance with through terrible assumptions. We assume that we're the sorted out people, we're the saved, sanctified people, and we actually the only people with something to give away. Nobody else has anything to give us. And could I talk to people in this room tonight? That's so wrong. If somebody walks up to you and blesses you, if somebody walks into your life and they want to make a contribution to you, take it. If you say no, you may deprive somebody of a huge moment of blessing. I heard of this preacher. He preached a great sermon. People went to him afterwards and said, that was a really great message. He says, no, don't thank me. That was all God. And the girl stepped back, looked at him and says, no, it wasn't that good. But you know this thing of false humility that we have. No, it's fine. I'm just fine. No, you keep that. Don't do that. If your mother wants to give you lunch, take it. Now, I know you didn't get that preached to you before, but it's biblical. Christ says, it's great to give your cup of cold water away, but it's just as important to receive it. Because you can only give it away if you've received it. Are you following me on this one? We're talking about what makes a contribution special. What makes it significant? Okay, and then adopting the heart of a steward. Learning to think in terms of what Christ calls a steward. Somebody with a gift. A gift to receive stuff and a gift to give it away. Somebody understands the art of being a conduit. Somebody who knows that my life exists so that amazing things can flow through my life. That's what Christ does in me. That's what the Bible calls a steward. Now, see what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 10. Now, it's going to sound wrong to see us to begin with, but we're going to fix this. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Okay, now this comes from the Message Bible, and CS will fix that scripture after the service. He'll edit that one. Okay, what it means is missions needn't only happen in Pakistan. It happens where you're going to be tomorrow. It happens right in our lives, just where we are, okay? And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You've been treated generously, so live generously. Now watch this. If you get this tonight, your year can work very differently. If a contribution of mine, if my cup of cold water, right? If it's going to change the world, if it's going to have that potential to change the world, then I must look at it differently. What Christ is talking about here, he's talking about the fact that he's got a bunch of guys around him. They don't really believe in him yet. They're still confused. Their heads are in a different space to his and everything. But he's saying wild stuff. He says, listen, I want you guys to go and lay hands on sick people and discover something, that when you pray for them, they're going to get healed. I want you to cast out demons. You know why? Because you can. I want you to raise the dead because you can. He's talking to his apostles. Now, that's a little bit bizarre. But you see, what was happening in their relationship was what Christ was wanting them to get. And this is what stewardship is all about. When we understand the principle of impartation. That lunchbox of that boy represents a very special relationship or a very special relational transaction. It means somebody gives me something. It's something intangible. But once I've received it, once I've opened up my heart to it, I can give it away. This morning before the service, Pam and Neil, they were here this morning, but they called me out of the worship. They took me outside and then they hugged me and we did a group hug and then they prayed for me, the two of them. You know, now, what sounds like just a religious thing was a very special moment. They were giving something away, and specifically this morning was the love of the Father. As they prayed for me, I just had God remind me, tell them it's about my love. It's about my love. Remember? It's all about my love, Fred. It's about my love. It's about my gift of love. That's what they must receive. So I'm standing there. I'm going, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm getting this. Because that's what happens with a transaction of impartation. I receive something, something supernatural that I can give away. And Christ is saying, listen, I'm giving you stuff all the time. It's not like I'm telling you stories, I'm holding your hand or hugging you. In all of that, I'm giving stuff to you. I'm giving stuff to you. If you open up your heart, if you live with understanding around me, things are going to change. Because I'm encouraging you for that reason that you begin to give away what you have so you can discover that it's there. Okay? But now watch this. Watch this. We're almost ready for your bedtime. One has to make this contribution by faith. This isn't magic. It's not an experiment. Okay, you've got to stay with me now. Which means when I give this fish and bread to the man, it's a deliberate, conscious act with an expectation for something supernatural to happen. You just know it. You know you're part of this moment. So it's not a stupid little boy playing a little game. It is a game, but it's a faith game. And he's played it before he knows it. It's not new to him. And you see, when we have a relationship, a living relationship with a living Christ, not a dead religious Christ who hangs on a cross or was a statue somewhere in a cathedral, but the risen Son of God, okay, who's here tonight by the Holy Spirit. He lives in me by the Holy Spirit. Then life becomes very exciting. Anything's possible. So if the Holy Spirit begins to move and he says, that lady over there, Have you seen her lately? She's looking pretty down, pretty depressed. I want you to go to her. I want you to sit down next to her, and I want you to ask her if it's okay if you just prayed with her. Not big, dramatic for the whole world to see. Just sit down quietly next to her, take her by the hand, and say, Father, you've shown me that this lady is suffering from terrible, terrible stuff in her life, just a heaviness. And I ask that you'd release over that now in Jesus' name. That's it. It's a deliberate act of impartation. You're giving something away. But now watch this. Christ says, if you've received grace in that area, a lot of you are going to have your lives changed this year because God is going to impact your life in the same way always does. That every time a miracle happens, it happens in the way that it did with this little boy with the fish and the bread. God is ready and willing to do amazing stuff, but there's one transactional step. It's always one transactional step away. Somebody's got to step up and give their contribution to him that can meet the need. Once it passes through him, once he smiles under, once he blesses it, amazing stuff happens. Miracles always happen like that. But watch this. To do it by faith, to do it deliberately and consciously means you know what it feels like. See us, just come here. Up here. Now this is where we get it wrong. And it's a South African thing. It's a cultural thing. And we're not going to get ethnic here. It's just a South African thing. I give it away. And you know what's happened now? Whether he throws it at you, whether he drinks it, it's none of my business. Whether he thinks it's cool or not, it's none of my business. I've done my bit. I've given it away. But you know what we do? Come on, drink it. Is it nice? No. You're drinking too fast. And we hang around and we want to manage it. We want to control it. I'm talking to people with control issues in the house. Are there any in the house? Ladies, put your hands down. We actually don't want to know. Okay, now that we've got our finger on the raw nerve, let's just do a bit of a snip. Yeah. Oh man, I had in the Big Easy, I had dinner with a man one night, an older gentleman with white hair and like pink cheeks. He's a Swedish man, businessman, and he tells a scary story. He's in intercession one night, right? And the Lord speaks to him, and the Lord gives him a word of knowledge. In other words, a bit of revelation stuff that the Holy Spirit shares, but exact. He gets the name of people and he gets an address in his city. And watch this. The Lord says to him, I want you to take everything that you possess and make it liquid, turn it into cash. Then I want you to take the cash to those people at that address and give it to them. He does the first bit, gets all his stuff together. And But before that, he checks out if there's a road like that, if there's an address like that, if there are people like that living there, and he checks out. It's as he got the word. There are people of that name living at that address. And then he goes to the place with his big bag with a lot of money in. He was a wealthy guy. With a lot of money, and he gives it to them, and then he walks away. Somebody comes to the door. He says, "Are you Mr. So-and-so?" The man says, "Yes." And he gives him the bag and then turns around and walks away. Now, right there. Right there. Something. The miracle has just started. Because, you know, that's when you know this is of the Lord. When you can let go and let God. You know what we do? At that point, we start bargaining with God. At this point, we start making deals with God. God, if you do this for me, if you do that for me, then I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to pray for the lady, but Lord, first do this for me. First give me a peace. First take my fear away. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do Arab market. He does obedience. Okay, make it Indian market, make it whatever. You know what I'm saying. He doesn't do that. And Gunnar says that next morning the reality dawned on him and he realized, oops, this was maybe, but it was done. The money was gone. Now they had to trust the Lord for bread and milk. And he says for the next couple of months, him and his family, for the first time, begin to know something about the reality of God's existence and the power of obedience. Now, he says he lives in the smart part of this town in this massive house. I mean, they had a massive standard of living. But now he's got milk and bread delivered to his door by anonymous people. Weird. And they've got all their basic needs met. Before that year is out, he is Sweden's businessman of the year. Long story, a lot of amazing miracles, boom, 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 happening. Massive stuff. But God wants to reward us, but watch this. Okay, I'm not going to bug CS again. But you see, when I walk away, CS, come here. You've got to get this. If I walk away, I've given my bread, my thing, and if I walk away and just stand back and let go and let go, something incredible happens. Now the power of God, now the Holy Spirit comes in and surrounds that contribution. And that's where we miss it. And the Holy Spirit begins to brood on that, and then the amazing stuff, the stuff that God had planned begins to happen. And that's where we miss it. And I'm trusting that this year you're going to learn something of that. And there are only two things that can go wrong still after that. An inability to walk away and just to let go and to let God, just to trust Him. Okay? And then to think about your contribution soberly. It means, and humbly, it means it's not your contribution. It's just something that you received. That's why you can give it away. So C.S. was talking about time and money tonight. Christ here is talking about spiritual impartation, the fact that we can actually see people's circumstances change. I can tell you a lot of stories about amazing things that happened over the years as people's lives changed supernaturally. Incredible. But for the most part, God wants you to discover and wants me to discover something about His willingness to change the world through us. But we've got to move to a place of humility where I realize that I can give this away because it was never mine in the first place. I remember somebody blessing me with money, a long story, to buy a beautiful double cab a couple of years ago. And then we had it like for a year and a half. And then we heard of some friends of ours who was going through the same crisis that we were in. But theirs was worse than ours. My wife gave me that look and then we both knew, okay, it's time. And we gave the beautiful thing away. They put it on Gumtree, sold it the next day for a lot of money. And they could finish off their house thing. But you know, the great thing is, you can do that because it's just a chain. It's something that we've received, and that was a big miracle. A lot of miracles there. But the miracle continues. But God wants us to learn just to walk away. Just walk away from it. And let the miracle continue. But now watch this. My contribution, I must understand, is very, very special. But it's not more special than anybody else's. It's not less special than anybody else's, but it's not more special. And watch this, the final thing. Stand tonight. I just want to pray with you quickly because we're done here. And this is the big one. We're talking about stewardship. We're talking about learning to be wise, spiritual wisdom with your contribution. We're talking about the fact that God wants to use you and me to change the world. But we're talking about how that works, okay? Now, this is the big one. Satan and the world are aware of our potential. They're aware that if we've got a room like this, who wakes up to the fact that I've got a God who never lets me go anywhere without my lunchbox. I've the best lunchbox in the world. I've got to share my lunchbox. I've got to learn to share my lunchbox. But watch this. Watch this. This is a scary one. Reinhard Bonnke tells a story of, he's a big German evangelist, millions and millions of people saved and healed and dead raised and all this stuff. And he's in India, he's doing a big crusade, and he's having an afternoon nap, like a power nap, and he's like half awake, semi-asleep, and then Christ walks into the room and talks to him, says, Reinhard, I want you to stop this crusade. I want you to go back to England. I want you to do something much bigger. And he goes, Lord, absolutely, I'm going to do it, but just let me finish what I'm busy with here, because we've still got to do 4 nights, blah, 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 blah. And he says, the Lord turns around, walks up to the room and says, Reinhard, it's okay. You're only the fourth guy I've asked. Reinhard says, he's like wide awake. He gets up and runs and says, Christ, can we talk? Can we start over? And I was in a meeting where in Johannesburg, where Reinhard came to share about the amazing stuff that happens, because he canceled. He listened to Christ, canceled it, and went back to the UK and did stuff that I remember being on my face on the floor for the whole night, just sniveling erect, just blown out by just the power and the willingness of God to move with us when we get the stewardship thing right. Incredible stuff, okay? But watch this. Christ will tell Reinhard, he will tell you, he'll tell me, it's fine if we're wanting to hold on to our glass of water like that's what our life is about. If we're not wanting to pass it on, we're not wanting to give away what we've been, it's fine. He'll just find somebody else. Because God's not mocked. He doesn't get messed with. See, so it's not quite like romantic, like in the movie. It's not like an idea. An idea doesn't change the world. People that are sold out to the control of God because of love, they change the world. Because you can't change the world through an idea, but you can change the world through the power of God. And the gifts of impartation that we receive are just so powerful. And so the moment a thought pops into your head that tells you that you are indispensable and that your contribution, like the whole world can't live without your contribution, you are deceived. You're already corrupted. You must go right back to square one, start over, go and ask for another lunchbox. I'm wanting us to close our eyes right now, and I'm wanting to talk to people that may be afraid of the new year. You're going through some stuff. But you've got some idea that you can't really change your circumstances. You know, other people change the world, you don't. And if you're at a place where your faith is just non-existent, just flat, then we want to pray with you tonight. So while all eyes are closed, all heads are bowed, I want you to take your belongings, pick up whatever you brought with you. It's a big crowd of people here tonight. And just come forward to me quickly. And we're going to pray with you very quickly. We're not going to keep you here for hours. Just come out from where you are. James, sing something. Okay, just come forward quickly. And if you're here tonight and you really feel like your relationship with Christ, prayed with some precious people this morning, this regard, man, you're not part of any life chain. You're not part of any chain. And you want to become part of that chain. You want to get in touch with that part of you that can receive, that child in you that can role play. When Christ says, just imagine. When Christ, by the Holy Spirit, starts doing scenario sketches in your mind, he always prepares us like that. Like a what if, what if, what if. Imagine, just imagine, imagine. Imagine your life can change. Imagine the lives of the people around you. Imagine you can live with a sense of fulfillment. Imagine you can live with a testimony of how God intervenes in your life, of how God reveals his power in you and through you. Imagine, imagine. See, that's all our privilege. That's why Christ came to the world. That's why he connected with us humans. So we can all know that reality. Not just people on stage with microphones. Everybody. You too. And you know,
God will give us wisdom so that we never feel more special like than anybody else just because God is using us. We always remain the same old boring people. Except that we can do this one thing. We can receive stuff from God and we can give it away. That's it. There's nothing more special about us. It's not about whether you can tap, dance, or sing, or whatever. It's not about our performance. It's just about the stewardship of that contribution. Awesome, awesome, incredible. I want us to, if you're fit enough, can you extend your hand to these precious people tonight? We're just going to pray with him. And then some other people are going to... Jesus, I thank you for the excitement that you register right now. Because a moment like this makes your whole journey to the earth meaningful to you. And thank you that you're not watching from a distance up on a cloud. Thank you that you're right here. Thank you that you're standing in front of every person right now. Thank you that you're embracing right now, that you're celebrating right now. You're saying welcome right now. You're saying well done right now. Father, I thank you that you say receive right now of my generous grace, of my generous gifts, of my generous blessings. As you receive, go and give. And Father, I thank you that tonight you change the lives of all these precious people for eternity. And Father, I want to break every assignment of darkness over each life here. I want to thank you for your amazing grace, just your rivers of grace that you pour out upon these people tonight. Thank you that you know us. You know us by name, by ID, by DNA code. You know our unique fingerprint. You know us. And Jesus, I thank you that you're going to be known by these people. I thank you that you're going to make yourself famous through each individual year. Your name is going to be glorified. Your knowledge will be honored as you reveal your power in Jesus' name.
Okay, we just maybe have some facilitators just standing behind these people. Now, you know, Scripture says, just like Pastor Fred said, that in John chapter 12, verse 24, he says, unless a seed of grain falls into the ground and it dies, it cannot produce any fruit. And for some of us tonight, this glass of water means our lives and giving our lives to Christ. Surrendering just in that place where we give our lives. And we don't want anybody to walk out now. I want everybody to stop, except if you're coming to the front. Because this is like a holy moment. We respect when God deals in our lives and God changes our lives. So if you're coming to the front, that's fine. We don't want anybody to walk around. So there's a special group of people here tonight. You don't know Jesus. You've not come to that place of letting go of your whole life. You've maybe come to church many times. You've grown up in church. But you're still in control of your life. That seed of grain is still alive. It's still... And that seed needs to go into the ground. It needs to come to the place where it changes. Something supernatural changes. The nature changes. That's called a spiritual reborning, rebirth. And then God begins to give it increase. It produces fruit. And maybe you're like that tonight. Or maybe you're here and you've made lots of commitments to God before. And you've said, yes, God, I will do a little bit for you. I will try that. And then after the camp or after that commitment, after that prayer, you're just back into the world. You backslide and you run away from God. And it's just like God is very distant from you. Then tonight we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to His love. Just like these people came to the front, maybe you're standing already in the front and you're fitting to one of those two groups. While every believer is praying, if you're that tonight, you're that seed that must be put into the ground. Everything inside of you says, I want to be in control. I want to have my own life. But Scripture says, you cannot save yourself. That's why Jesus died. That's why He came to the cross, so that we can live. And if that's you tonight, why don't you just stick up your hand and say, that's me. I want to die so that Christ can live. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to come to the place where I let go. I can stand on the side and just bungee and I know the Father is going to catch me. I know there's a place of that freedom. And if that's you tonight, there's some hands going up. I want you to raise your hand very high, because tonight you are the most special people here tonight. Tonight you're transferring from darkness into His light, because Jesus saves. Jesus is going to save you tonight, but you need to give up your life. You need to give up that figuring out and saying, yes, God, maybe. There's some of you that's saying, I'm going to do it at home. We're just secretly and all that stuff. Jesus died naked on a cross for the whole world to see and say, look at the Savior. Father, forgive them, for they haven't got a clue. But tonight you need to receive that. You need to receive that eternal life from Him. Lots of hands going up. If that's you tonight, stick up your hand very high and say, that's me. Because we're not ashamed of what Christ has done. We come to Him and we say, God, I surrender. Surrender my life to You. Because you can trust God. You can trust Him. He's proven Himself to you. He's paid a price with the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Lots of hands going up as believers. I just sense there's a war going on for some souls here tonight, and we need to pray. Father, thank You that You open up the heavens. Thank You that we can take authority over every demonic stronghold, God, over everything that stands against the fullness of Christ. Every veil, Lord, lift the veils over our eyes that we can see Your goodness. Your goodness tonight will lead us to repentance. Lord, thank You for a conviction, Lord. Lord, showing us our brokenness, showing us, Lord, our need for You, our absolute dependency on You. Hallelujah. If you've raised your hand, I'm going to ask you something very bold. There are people standing in front. I'm going to ask you to come right to the front. Right, there's a little red line there. I'm going to ask you if you want to be included in a prayer of letting go and giving everything to God, saying, God, I want relationship with You. I want Your forgiveness. Lord, I'm that prodigal son that needs to come back home. I've never felt celebrated. I don't know what relationship with You is. That you tonight? If you've raised your hand, I want you to quickly step out from where you are and come and stand right in front, because we want to pray with you before we're going to pray for these other people. Maybe you're standing there, and then just step one step to the front as we're going to come to. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just give God a shout in this place. A shout, a voice of triumph. Jesus! Hallelujah, Lord! Hallelujah, God. If you're standing at the back and you're a bit shy, you want to be included in this prayer, you can't do it at the back. You have to be in front. Because it's a public statement Jesus made. And you need to make a public statement that I'm stepping out of darkness into His light. That's you. I want you to come right to the front. Stand a little bit more to the front. If you want to be included, you must stand in the first row so that we can know who you are. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand. Say, I need to be in front. I need to get there because this is the most important decision of my life. Responding to the love of God. Responding to the choices Jesus has made for me. And receiving that. You have to come and receive, and then you have to give. Give your life. You give your life and you receive His life. It's called being born again. It's called coming into His ways. Anybody else? There's still some people coming. I want you to grab somebody's hand if you're shy. I want you to come straight to the front. Right to the front. I want you to stand right in the first row if you want to be included in that prayer. Because tonight, God is going to change your life. God is going to give you a new life. He's going to wash your sins clean. And He's going to give you salvation. Hallelujah. Still some people coming to the front. I want you to stand right in the front if that's you. Just giving... And all the people in that second row, just stand a little bit to the back because we want to make sure that the people standing in the first row are included in this prayer. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. Yes, okay. Okay. One facilitator is just to stand behind every person here in the first row. There must be some facilitator with people because this is the most important moment when people respond to that call of God. We're going to pray a prayer. You can pray your own words. It's not about the words. It's about the surrender. It's about the heart tonight. And we're going to pray a prayer. Is that all right? Can you all see that at the back? On the side? Okay, let's close our eyes. I want you to sort of stretch out your hands to heaven like a little child that comes to God to say, I surrender. My little boy Joshua, he runs to me and if I don't open the door quickly enough, he will hurt himself against the door when I come home. And because he lifts his hands up and he says, Daddy, pick me up. Take this life. I give it to You. So let's pray. Father, you all pray after me. Father, let's all pray. Father, tonight I come to You as a child. Lord, tonight I realize that I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I repent of my sin. I need a change, Lord. And I turn back to You tonight. I turn to Your ways. I want to follow You. So I ask, Lord, that through Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross, that Jesus, You will save me tonight. Wash my sins away. cleanse me, Lord. I give you control of my life, of my body, my emotions, my whole life. I surrender all to you, Jesus. Take my life and use it. Take my life, Lord, as I enter into relationship with you. I confess with my mouth that you are now Lord of my life, and I believe in my heart that Jesus, you rose from the dead. I thank you for relationship with you. Teach me, God, what it means to follow you with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul. I belong to you for eternity. I thank you, God, that Jesus, you died for me on a wooden cross 2,000 years ago so that I can live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's just give God a shout in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, God loves you so much, and you've just taken the first step tonight. Some of you, you feel like, whoa, you know, you're trying to figure out what you need to do when you go from this place. The first three people that you see when you come out of those doors, you tell them what you did tonight. You say, my life does not belong to me anymore. It belongs to Jesus. Okay, send your mom and your dog and your cat the SMS and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, the first three people. Then what you do is you go and read the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first gospels, you say, before that, you just pray and say, Jesus, show me who you really are. Really, reveal yourself to me. Okay? And then you need to get baptized because that's the next step in your spiritual growth. You need to identify. Scripture says you must repent and be baptized. Okay? There's somebody behind you that's going to talk a little bit with you. And then also, the fourth thing is you need to slot into a small group. Okay? You need like-minded Christians that can take your hand and walk a road with you. That's why Jesus said, our Father. And there are lots of people here that's your new brothers and your sisters. Okay? They're cool people. I tell you, they're very cool people. Okay? And they love you and they want to walk a road with you. But you need to let them. You need to walk in the light. Okay? So there's even somebody behind you that's going to just tell you, if you've got questions, you can ask those questions. And if you want to slot into that cell group, we always say you must, okay? It's just very important. If you're not in a small group, you'll see there are lots of tables there, okay? When you come out tonight, you give up your name there, or there's a little card that you can fill in and say, I want to belong to a small group. Normally on a Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, there's 120 small groups. Yeah, on campus, up to Somerset West, Franschhoek, Paul, everywhere, where you can slot in and you grow, okay? So exciting. And so we want to welcome you to this family. We believe that's where you must be. Otherwise, you would have gotten saved in another place. Or God have led you here. So we want to welcome you. So as the rest of the family, let's give our new family applause and just welcome them. Okay. So we're excited about this row that you're walking. What you need to do is quickly turn to the right. There's a guy waving there at you. It looks like Vainant. Is it Vainant? You're there. There's somebody behind you that's going to just take your hand. If you'll just quickly go there, we need 5 minutes of your time. The rest of us, what we're going to quickly do, as we're going to pray for the people in the front, you're going to take your chairs. You're going to sit in groups of five quickly. Just get five people that you've maybe come with, five or six. We've got two questions that we're going to quickly walk through before we're going to go home. Okay, so the service is still going on. Before we're going to worship, we're still going to worship like. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for each one of these precious people that have committed to you. Thank you for their lives. We receive them into your kingdom. We receive them into this family tonight. Okay, quickly, so just find five people next to you, five people around you. Sit in a little circle, put the chairs around. Everybody, five people, quickly, five or six people in a group. Okay, has everybody got somebody next to them? Okay. Okay, shh. Only people allowed to talk are those who are praying in front here. Okay. Everybody at the back, have you got somebody that you're sitting with? Okay, this is part of the service, part of realizing that you can give something. Okay, everybody in this church, it's not about the person preaching in front. It's about you bringing your fish and your bread. So we've got two questions that we're going to ask tonight. The first one is, tell us, what was the greatest holiday that you've ever had? But you've got 30 seconds. Okay, you've got 30 seconds. The greatest holiday that you've ever had, and how did it come about? How did it happen? Did it just wake up and you... How did this holiday happen? Okay, so quickly in groups of five or six, just share with friends around you the greatest holiday that you've ever had, and how did it come about? We have got 3 minutes to do that. So 30 seconds per person. The second question is, what one thing did you do to somebody else, maybe it's something small, that changed their lives or that really blessed them? Maybe it's like when you were small and you shared your lunchbox with somebody. One thing, one moment that you were a blessing to somebody else that either enhanced their lives or changed their lives. Maybe it was known, maybe it was unknown. So quickly, share with some of those people in the group. Something that you did that changed their life, that maybe costed you something.